Good morning, everybody. Many years ago, Jesus made a triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He did it to change the world, and change the world he did. Today we celebrate Palm Sunday, so please stand as we sing hallelujah to the Lord. Praise God for what he has done on Palm Sunday and after that. Welcome to the Vines Church this morning. Ian is our guest preacher this morning, and I'm sure he will bless us immensely. Thanks, Ian.
Thank you, Bill. Well, almost got giddy walking around like that. So whether you're live now or watching on, you know, technology, sometime, someplace later, welcome to the Vines. May you experience a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit today. For those who don't know me yet, my name is Ian Kitto. I'm sort of retired and helping out today while David Pryor recovers from something yesterday. It's did it feel, like you were in a celebrating something special when those palms were going around, the palm leaves? It's just, they're a bit dull over there now, aren't they? There's a few at the front. But they're kind of a bit smaller than the big Christmas pageant you have, or used to have, except for last year in November. But it's still a bit of a celebration, isn't it? And singing Hosanna with all that happy, catchy stuff. Thanks, Bill. That was great. But I'm building the tension here. I want you to imagine what it would have been like on the first Palm Sunday when Jesus first entered Jerusalem, when people were waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna and praise God, etc. Then. But before we talk about that, there's some notices. And a reminder that before we do that even, we're going to look at the psalm, because that's what Jesus would have been familiar with. So let's have a look at the psalm and say this responsively now. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
Love endures forever.
Let Israel say,
his love endures forever.
Open for me the gates of the righteous.
I will enter and give thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous may enter.
I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation.
The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone.
The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.
The Lord has done it this very day.
Let us rejoice today and be glad.
Lord, save us.
Lord, grant us success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
From the house of the Lord we bless you.
The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us.
With bows in hand, join in festal profession up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will praise you.
You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
Well, exciting, isn't it? A reminder about what's coming up this week, in case you hadn't realised it. Next Sunday is the end of daylight saving, but it's something else as well. It's Easter Day, so there'll be services on Easter Day and on Good Friday at the usual time. And there'll also be a service on Maundy Thursday at 7. And so don't forget that you can come along to them. You don't have to book in the usual way for Thursday night, but Friday and Sunday, will you still do that, please? It's really weird with the change in circumstances. Some things change and some things don't because of COVID, don't they? A couple of other reminders. One is that because of what's happening with the Easter services, would you take some of these little notices which are available when you leave, which advertise the Easter services, and just drop them in the letterboxes around about where you live, if you could do that, please. That would be a good thing. Something else that's going to happen is that there's going to be some Easter eggs given away at the Happy Valley shops on Wednesday evening. Right. Do you still want more Easter eggs, Leon? No. Have you got enough? Thank you. Elaine Manson would like to remind you that the deadline for your signed permission forms is rapidly approaching. So please contact her about that regarding the directory if you haven't personally spoken to her regarding your entry, or emailed her or given her a signed thing to confirm that your data is correct, because no details will be included in the new directory unless they have been confirmed. And Elaine will be here in the foyer after worship this morning. And yesterday was a very successful Easter market, and so as you came in, you would have seen that some tables of stuff still available today. Yesterday there was $1,084 raised, So, plus what we prayed this morning. So, thanks for those that have helped with that. And finally, we'll be farewelling Bill after the benediction, as this is his last day. And so now it's time for Laurie to come and bring out prayers. Thanks, Laurie.
What a special day. Palm Sunday is here, and this past year has brought tumultuous times and flashes of fear that none of us have experienced in our lifetimes. The very real fallen state of our world and frailty of life have been put in front and centre in our lives in a visceral way. We look to you, Father, to guide us out of our fear and remind us of our Saviour. We do not need to be afraid. You have given us the wisdom we need to live each day of our lives to the full purpose you have designed for us to live. This day is a reminder of the unexpected yet fully anticipated King of Kings. Jesus did not look like the Messiah your people hoped for. The way he entered the holy city of Jerusalem on that day, riding a young donkey as a significant sign of peace and fulfillment of prophecy, did not align with the expectations of a military conqueror. Much of our daily lives don't align with our expectations, Father. So much of our lives don't make sense. This day, let us embrace the unexpected entrance of our Saviour Jesus. He is peace. Let us apply this incredible truth to our lives. Peace mattered to Jesus. He came to bring us peace. He is peace. Father, how quickly we forget the peace we possess in Christ. Remind us minute by minute as we navigate difficult days and trying times. Father, we need peace to live life to the full as Jesus died for us to live. Make our lives good, Lord, through Jesus, our true vine, living branches of faith, hope and love, so that the existence of others may be enriched, and our own lives grow mature with the fruits of Jesus Christ. For our brothers and sisters and all their diverse needs, we pray. Where people have forgotten how to laugh, touch them with your joy. Where they have lost the art of mercy, graft compassion and forgiveness within them. Where they neglect to share bread, medicine, trust and friendship, stir new growth of love within them. Lord, our true vine, abide in us, that we may abide in you. Let your presence support the weak, encourage the sick, comfort the dying, guide the confused, heal the brokenhearted, and soften the hard heart and sweeten the bitter spirit. Let the harvest of our prayers be in your time and in your way, most loving Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Lauren. Isn't it great what Jesus did so many years ago, that we would have that assurance that number one, salvation, number two, eternity in heaven. Imagine being in the presence of God and seeing him. Whoa, fantastic. Please keep that in mind as we stand and sing Blessed Assurance.
Of God.
mind if we have open giving praise to God? Just anybody that wants to praise God right now, just yell it out, I reckon. Give him praise.
Thank you, God, for keeping us safe.
We praise God from the depths of the Lord for his kindness and for the glory.
Father, we praise and thank you for the incredible blessed assurance that is ours.
Father, praise and thank you for all your blessings and mercy to all.
We praise you for the freedom we have to worship.
Father, thank you for this church, for Candy Road, and then to this church, and then the people in this church, Lord, and all that you've done, Father, in this wonderful community, this family. We give you praise, Lord, for the God that you are, the great God that you are. Amen. Please be seated, everybody.
Today's reading is from John 12, verse 12 to 16. Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, the disciples did not understand these things at first. Let me pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and open our ears, our hearts, and our minds, that we may hear your word for us today. Amen. Some of you know that I've been looking forward to doing a six-day trek across the mountainous wilderness that is Kosciuszko National Park. And I was going to do it in April with eight other guys. We'd been training hard. We'd been going to do it last year, but we all know what happened in 2020. So I'd been doing lots of training, climbing up Mount Lofty and other hills with my loaded pack on my back. And then 4 weeks ago, I got a phone call from the trek leader telling me that I was not going to be on that trek this year. It was too big a risk. I was too old, not well enough. My participation might put the whole venture and enjoyment for those people all at risk. I've had an expectation of doing this trek for nearly 2 years now. And suddenly, all those hopes and expectations and dreams were dashed. I've had to cope with something very different. It's confusing. It's disruptive. And I'm not the only person here who has had their expectations dashed because of complications of life, like a fire or a sudden change in our health or financial situations, barriers to travel or family circumstances. These disruptions to life are common, like death and taxes. Unexpected changes in our life are inevitable. It's different, it's confusing, it's disruptive. The crowds in Jerusalem who welcomed Jesus by waving the palm branches and shouting Hosanna and praise God and so on, and blessed is the King as he walked down a street, must have had very good reasons to do that. When they heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, they already had some clear expectations of how they expected him to behave and what kind of person that they expected him to be. For example, would he arrive in Jerusalem as a conquering hero king who will defeat and expel their enemies? Would he be a powerful political leader who commands others in such a way that his orders will solve all manner of political hot potatoes? And what's more, everyone will be happy afterwards. Or would Jesus arrive in Jerusalem as a miracle worker? Would he solve all their problems there, personally, in the blink of an eye, so that there are no more health or finance or relationship difficulties amongst their families? The fact is, Jesus entered Jerusalem riding on a donkey, not on an armoured war horse. Riding a donkey signified humility, not power. So if they expected Jesus to be a conquering hero king, they were going to be sorely disappointed. And if they expected Jesus to continue doing all his miraculous signs and wonders and healings, those expectations were soon dashed also when he was crucified just a few days later. And I'm not sure how the people would have coped, how they would have reacted when this great gulf between expectations and reality suddenly emerged. It's the same for us. When we wave palm branches today and shout Hosanna, we are joining the crowd in celebrating our expectations of Jesus. But what are they? What are our expectations of the coming Jesus? If we saw Jesus coming down Rainall Road today, what would we think of him as he rode past on a young donkey? Or more likely, on an old push bike? What would we think? Who is this Jesus? This Jesus for you? Do you still expect Jesus is a conquering hero? That powerful political leader who will confront and overthrow secular authorities? I'm tempted to say, like Donald Trump promised he was going to do. Is he a miracle worker who will fix all our health issues and problems with money and the environment and climate change and other people and COVID-19 in the blink of an eye? If these are our expectations of Jesus, then we'll be very disappointed. Because like the palm wavers in Jerusalem welcoming their king, Jesus will not be our kind of king. Jesus will not celebrate our expectations. Instead, Jesus is committed to being God's kind of king. So yes, Jesus entered Jerusalem a bit like a king, with palm branches waving in his honour. But remember, the path of Jesus is a path of humility, not power. Jesus came to bless people with grace and love, not to dole out miracles from a position of authority. Jesus is a king, but not the kind of king we expect. We know that people have been trying to make Jesus their kind of king long before Palm Sunday. In John chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, it says, "After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, where he fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, they began to say, 'Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world.' And Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself." that time, Jesus went away and left the people who had expectations of him being their kind of king. This time, Jesus was letting events unfold. The people still thought of him as their kind of king. But this time, it's going to be different. He's still on a donkey, not on the war horse. The people are still shouting Hosanna and waving the palm branches. But in a few short days, the results will be very different. They'll have to cope with something that is very confusing. It's disruptive. And it's Jesus. And I wonder, did the palm waving and the shouting stop as Jesus went by on the donkey? Or did they start waving their palm branches even more vigorously and shouting Hosanna even more loudly and enthusiastically in an attempt to convince Jesus to be their kind of king? Because we know that soon, at another time, in another place, another crowd, or maybe some of the same crowd, would shout, not Hosanna, but crucify him. We know that the cross of Jesus, the cross of Easter, is coming next Friday. So do we stop waving our palm branches? Do we stop shouting Hosanna? Maybe. Maybe not. When the crowd began to honour Jesus as their kind of king, Jesus could have turned around and hopped off the donkey and run back up the hill to Bethany. But he didn't run away. He kept riding on into Jerusalem. He kept riding on towards whatever would happen in the next week. And we already know what that involved. He was arrested. He was tried and convicted unfairly. And Jesus was crucified. And then Jesus was raised to life again. And that's the good news. When we know this, we have the potential to respond to that good news with joy, because Jesus is still committed to being his kind of king, God's kind of king, not our kind of king. You see, God's kind of king is not one who rules by inflicting pain and fear and shame and guilt upon God's people. Rather, God's kind of king rules by offering God's people grace and forgiveness and hope and peace and joy and love. Do you like to feel good? We do, don't we? We like to feel good even when we're running someone else down. And we like to be part of the crowd. And so we shout Hosanna like others in the crowd when they shout Hosanna. And next week, we'll shout, crucify him, like others in the crowd did when they did that. But this week, today is about expectations, and specifically our expectations of who Jesus is. Will we try to enforce our expectations of who Jesus is? Or will we listen to Jesus? When Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 8, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone. He said that to a crowd of men surrounding a woman caught in adultery. And when he said, let the one who is without sin cast the first stone, the men gradually went away, starting with the oldest. And in that, Jesus offered that woman a new life. instead of being judged and convicted and stoned to death, he said, "Go and sin no more." And her expectations of imminent death were disrupted by Jesus, giving her hope and a new life. And similarly, Jesus called Zacchaeus the tax collector to come on down from his sycamore tree so that they could eat together at Zacchaeus's place. And as a result, Zacchaeus stopped being a greedy, selfish sinner and became generous and accepting and followed Jesus. You see, God's kind of king rules with grace, not guilt. God's kind of king rules with forgiveness, not fear. God's kind of king, Jesus, showed in his actions that a life of honouring him gives us all eternal hope. Not because we shout loudly, you know, "Hosanna," or "Crucify him." For Jesus, God's kind of king, life is much more about hope and forgiveness than anger and righteous indignation. And Jesus wants us to imitate his love and his humility. When we let go of our wrong expectations about Jesus, and when we see him for who he really is, we end up in a far better place. It's the way of life now and beyond death. It's the way of hope and forgiveness, a way that allows us to shout praises and hosannas, not so that Jesus will be gracious towards us, but so that we can keep our focus on others, looking outward and not inward, only at ourselves. So here's my invitation and challenge to you today: to let go of your expectations of the kind of king you want Jesus to be. And through reading scripture and prayer and worship, to be set free to grab hold of the real Jesus. That's the Jesus who rode a donkey, not a war horse. That's the Jesus who takes regular time out to be silent, to reject the persuasive voices of the crowd, and to listen to God, the still small voice of God. When we do this, when we sit and silently listen to God, we become less focused on the latest popular thing on TV or some popular media person's doings or sport. And we're able to hear God's creatures' whisperings, love, joy, hope, freedom, forgiveness, peace, and love, and grace. On Palm Sunday, letting go of action, palm waving, hosanna. That's actually an excellent preparation for the coming week. Being still rather than hyperactive is an excellent way to find hope and to sing genuine praises to Jesus. And it's also a way to not be overwhelmed by Christ's crucifixion on Good Friday, and to find hope in the resurrection to come on Easter Day, like new leaves growing after a fire. So, today, let go of any false expectations you might have. Slow down and honour Jesus, the King of Glory. And if this leads you to finding the real Jesus, then celebrate that with passion and enthusiasm. You could even shout Hosanna and praise God. Let me pray. Jesus, you are still the King of glory. Forgive us when we try to impose our expectations of what that means on you. Help us now, in a few moments of silence, to humbly listen to you, to see who you really are, and how we can share that good news with another person this coming week. In your name we pray. Amen. Thanks, Bill.
That was a great message, don't you think? Fantastic. We're going to sing the song, Go Forth in His Name now. It seems a bit not right because we've been told to just relax and take soak in Jesus, but now we're being bold and saying, go out and do it.
It's confusing. It's disruptive. It's Jesus. Our worship is almost ended for today. Also remember that our Christian service for this week is just beginning. Before we go out and proclaim that Jesus is Saviour, Redeemer and Lord. So I encourage you this week, amongst that, to take some time out to slow down and to stop. To listen to the birds singing and think about the expectations you might have of Jesus. Remember, he didn't come on a war horse like a conqueror, but on a donkey as a sign of his humility. And as you think about that, remember also that the crowds who once shouted Hosanna would soon be shouting, "Crucify him!" So, who is this Jesus for you? If your expectations of Jesus seem to have failed you, and if you're struggling to find hope, then also remember that Easter Day, the day of Jesus' resurrection, is coming. And so next week, may we each come to worship saying, "Rejoice, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed." And now, almost, go out with the peace of God to love and serve Jesus, the Son of God, equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit to celebrate and to serve the least and the last and the lost. In the name of Christ. Amen.